CTV.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to another week of broadcast excellence. I'm just calling what is not as though it were. I don't know why the official mascot of the Body of Christ wanted to join me today on the show, but here he is. This is Charles. He is the official mascot of the Body of Christ, and he might be on my lap for the duration. A cute kid. Nothing like a warm puppy, I'm telling you. I wish he was a little higher. You could see him. I'll pick him up every now and then so you won't forget he's on my lap. A couple closing thoughts from last week. I keep hearing this from God, and it is this. I mean, we all want to help our loved ones. We want to give them the spiritual information they need to be members of the body of Christ. We herald the word opportunely and inopportunely, but most of the times they just don't hear it and they don't want to hear it. And it's frustrating because it's our most crying, desperate need to help them. But I keep hearing this, and this is it. The best way we'll be able to help them is by first leaving them. I know this is potentially sad. Nobody wants to leave their loved ones. But at the snatching away, in some cases, many cases, I have to say, this is going to happen. But I don't want you to fear that. I want you to think of it in a new way. I want you to think of it this way, that you will be able to do your best for them once you're changed, once you're made immortal. It's the old, how do you like me now syndrome. And not only for them, but for the rest of the world. And those of us with a disposition for God, we think this way. We think in the big picture. And we know that the snatching away is going to happen. And we know that the snatching away will be the completion of Christ. And we know that Christ will not begin the completion of the universe until his body is completed. So this is the key to everything. Even this dog on my lap knows that. This dog on my lap knows who I am. Because animals have instincts. And Paul says in Romans 8 that all creation has a premonition. That is a before feeling of what is going to happen. It's unconscious, and I would say everybody, because I think Paul says all creation are the same. Creation that is groaning is a creation that has a premonition that there is an answer to the groaning. And there is an answer to the groaning, and the answer is our perfection and the completion of the body of Christ. You may have heard me say this before, but one of the influential teachers in my walk was Ray Prinzing. And Ray had this great analogy one time. He said, he had a lot of great analogies, but this one, he said, you know, sometimes I feel like a raging river. He says, I feel sometimes tempestuous and that God is just moving me along at a rapid pace. And the analogy is in revelation and knowledge and realization of him. And I feel that I'm going so fast, Ray said, in the Lord. But as I look around me, no one else is moving. No one else is showing any progress in spiritual things. And isn't this true? Like if you meet people, say, that you haven't seen for 20 years, and they're still going to church, they're still in the same institution, they're still Catholic, still Baptist, still Pentecostals, and you talk to them, and it's mind-blowing to see that God is doing something amazing with you, and at this time, he's doing nothing with them, nothing. They're stagnant. It's a shock. They are stagnant. And you don't really realize that until you're next to them. My dad used to fly single-engine aircraft, and I'll never forget, in an airplane, you don't really feel your speed. But one time, my dad was flying directly over a cloud bank. I mean, like maybe 10, 15 feet over this long cloud bank. And then you felt the 200 miles an hour because those clouds were just going by. But without the contrast, you can't feel how fast you're going. And sometimes we get discouraged and we don't realize how fast we're going in Christ until we stand next to somebody who for years has made no progress. It's not the fact that they have made no progress. It's the fact that God has chosen totally not to give them revelation, and he has chosen to give it to you. And this is not your doing. It's not their doing that they are stuck, stagnated, and it's not your doing that you're flying high and fast in God. But then Ray said, as a raging river, I feel like I'm no practical help to anyone. And he said, a raging river, you can't put a boat on it. You can't fish in it. It's just a cauldron of movement. But, he said, when that water gets to the ocean, it can bear the largest of seafaring vessels. And wow, I've never forgotten that. And it's probably been 35, 40 years since I heard that on one of Ray's tapes. And the analogy of the ocean is getting to God. When we get to God, when we're perfected, then we're able to do everything. And as I told you, and I firmly believe, we will be able to return after our snatching away to help our loved ones through the tribulation, to help them see the truth and to really shield them. I honestly believe, shield them. Just like the blood on the doorposts shielded the firstborn in Israel from the death angel, I think we'll be able to shield our loved ones. And we have the full authority of God and Christ at that time. In 1993, when I quit the post office to do this work full time, I didn't tell my parents until it was over. I didn't want to have to try to, you know, argue with them. My parents are very understanding, but why take the chance? I was married with three kids, and my last day at the Postal Service was October 1st, 1993. And my wife and my anniversary was coming up on October 15th. That would have been our 11th anniversary. And so we were planning a trip to Canton, Ohio, from where we were living in Greenwich. Had somebody watching the kids, and we were going to get away. We were going to go to Canton, Ohio, and just get a room and relax, talk about this giant move of God that he was doing with us. And I figured, well, we could tell my parents after it's a done deal. And that's exactly what we did. It was 2 weeks after the deal had been done. And I said, we got to make sure we look very, very good, very nice and professional. So we got all dressed up. And we went to my mom and dad's. And I broke the news to him. And it was the most beautiful thing. It was amazing. I'd never forgotten it. I didn't really emphasize the spiritual part of it because they wouldn't understand that. I emphasized the writing part of it. I said, I'm going to make a shot at writing full time. And I decided that unless I do it now, unless I take all my youthful energy and apply it now, I don't think I'll ever do it. So again, I did not emphasize, I might have mentioned the spiritual part. I might have said I wanted to write books about God and God's creatures, like this little one right here. But that wasn't the main point. I'll never forget what my dad said. What a dad. He said, if anyone could make this happen, you can. You see what a smart idea it was to tell them after the fact? If we told them before the fact, they could think of ways to prevent it. Like, well, we got to talk some sense into this kid. But since it was already done, well, if anybody can do it, you can. And my mom was very calm, very cool. And we looked great. That helps. Yeah, you got to be wise. Innocent as doves, but wise as serpents. And so Marcia and I went to the Comfort Inn in Canton, Ohio. It's on Whipple Avenue, Whipple and Everhard Road, right across from the Denny's. And we had a spiritual experience there. Many of you have probably heard this. I haven't told it in a while, but I have new viewers all the time. And so what happened was, as we were laying there in bed watching television, and we both had this experience at the same time, it was as if all the people on the TV, like, we could, it was as if we couldn't, but it was as if we could see right through their skin, to their skulls, to their bones, and we could, like, see the elemental parts of them, all the pretensions. I mean, the TV shows, we were just flipping through with the channel changer, bop, 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 with the remote. What do you call it? Yeah, remote. Da, 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 da. And, of course, all the nonsense in the world is at your fingertips on television. And so there was noise, action, there were movies, talk shows, commercials, just nonsense worldly things. And we could perceive that every one of these people were suffering. Every one of these people were having a premonition. Every one of these people were Adamic humans who were dying. And I'm telling you, it was like I could see through their skulls. I could see their bones, see their skulls, see, again, the elemental parts of them, where all the pretensions, all the quiet desperation, Henry David Thoreau, right? Men everywhere lead lives of quiet desperation. It was all there on display. And we became very spiritually disturbed. And I remember we turned off the TV and we started to pray. And I know this is going to sound Pentecostal, but the word of the Lord came into my mind saying, the ark door is closing. And you have to let these people go. What you have to concern yourselves with now, and this was the beginning of this work, what you have to concern yourselves with now is a life with God inside the ark. And you have to let these people go for now. But God said, I am coming back for them. In fact, I am going to send you back for them. There he goes. Thanks for the visit, Charles. And I've never forgotten that, which is why I wanted to share it with you today. Because I think it's more appropriate now than ever. We have to focus on Christ. Of course, since that time, I have not let those people go. But I put out lots of material, lots of videos, lots of articles to try to reach everybody. But I don't go to anybody specifically. I put it out for general consumption. It's not my call or your call to go individually to anybody, unless the pull of God is there and God leads you to someone and they're genuinely curious. Of course, we minister to those people. But generally speaking, it's getting to the point now where we are strapped into this rocket and the world is falling away. Another one of my favorite analogies. The world is falling away and it's time for our change. And the ark door is closing. And these people are not going to get in for aeonian life. Doesn't mean we don't care for them. Doesn't mean we don't love them. In fact, our love for them compels us to go on. Jesus Christ, in the last weeks of his life here on earth, he had to go on. He set his face as flint to go to Jerusalem to be offered up. And he saw his supporters just fading away. He gave some hard sayings in those last weeks, and he saw the people just disappear. And that was just him and God. And he was strapped in for what he had to do. And he had to be thinking during that time, the ark door is closing. I can't reach them now. I did everything I could for 3.5 years. I did signs. I did wonders. I testified to the truth. Father, I did everything you asked me to do, but now the time has come. And what I'm about to do is going to eventuate in the salvation of all of them. I couldn't reach them as I plodded across the landscape, tired and thirsty and hungry. I couldn't reach them because, Father, you locked the door to most of the people I heralded to. But what I'm about to do is going to reach all of them. And you see the analogy with us. What is about to happen with us is going to reach all of them. And that can't happen until this thing happens. And so, unlike our Lord, we have a joyous expectation. Well, his long-term expectation was certainly joyous. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. In the short term, it was going to be a terrible trial. We still have our trials, but we will never be called upon to suffer what our Lord suffered. What do we have to look forward to? A joyous joining with Christ and the dead in Christ. He suffered that crucifixion for our sakes. We don't have to go through that. We have our own trials, yes, but we will never have to suffer to the degree that he suffered to, because he was our elder brother. He was the firstborn of many brethren. We are following him, and we are filling up in his stead the afflictions of Christ, as Paul said, but we have a joyous expectation of the snatching away. And that will be Christ's sacrifice for the world coming to fruition. His sacrifice, his suffering, locked it in, assured that the salvation of the world was done, but yet to be administered. And he chooses us, of all people, to administer it. And so the fruit of what he did, the fruit of the seeds that were planted at Calvary, is going to be ours to taste. He's going to share the fruit with us. We weren't there for the planting, for the horrible, terrible planting at Calvary. He alone did that. But when the fruit comes in, when the harvest is bountiful and glorious and beautiful, he shares that with us. And that will be the beginning of the completion of his work.